This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 912.
What's going on, everyone? This is David Green, your host of the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast, the show where we arm you with the information that you need to start building long-term wealth through real estate today. Today's episode is a Seeing Green episode that I'm bringing to you from Las Vegas, where I'm attending a Keller Williams real estate event, and I brought in some backup. James Daynard himself joins me to tackle your questions and help you all learn how to build more wealth, get more real estate, and put together the life that you've always wanted to live. In today's show, we got some really good stuff. We talk about trapped equity, what to do when you are equity rich but cash flow poor, how to think about equity like a bank account and where you're storing your energy, including the pros and cons of the different ways that you can store energy. And if you want to know how to get a 13% return, James is going to share one of his strategies with you all. So make sure you listen all the way to the end to get that information. Now, up first, we have a live caller wanting to double up his portfolio. And we're going to take that call right now. So buckle your seatbelt and get ready. Let's see some green. All right, up next, we have Matthew Marcellison in Houston. He was featured on the Bigger Pockets Rookie episode 347. In today's Seeing Green, we're doing our best to bring the Bigger Pockets community into the podcast. Matthew, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. David, firstly, I wanted to thank you so much for all of the information that you've doled out over the years. You guys have been instrumental in my success at helping me become stage one financially free. So super enthused and thank you so much. And James, congrats on the market. I love that podcast. I listen to the episodes as soon as they drop. So today, wanted to ask about partnerships. So I currently have 11 units over four properties. I have all the TRs, STR, MTR, LTR. My 2024 goals are pretty ambitious. I'd like to double my monthly profit from 5K to 10K. And to do that, I may need partnerships. I've already completed one partnership that went really well in New Braunfels, Texas. I gave my buddy a stellar deal. He may not know it. Just kidding. I tell him all the time. So not only did I bring the time and the knowledge, but I also brought 50% of the funds to the closing table. As a Texas real estate broker, I did receive some commission that I put some into the business startup fund. But as I continue on this journey, more friends are noticing my success and they want in. Totally don't blame them. But since they're busy W-2ers, they really can only contribute money and not time or knowledge. And we know that equity partners are more expensive than debt partners, but I do want to share this adventure with them. If you were me, how would you structure future partnerships that give my friends a fair return, but also acknowledge my knowledge and time that I bring as well?
All right. I've got some thoughts on that, but James, ladies first.
Appreciate it. I absolutely love this question because we all do this when we first start getting investing. You know, when you get going, you're trying to raise the money, you're offering massive service to start grow it out. I did the same thing throughout all of my 20s, partnering with people, over providing the services. You know, I definitely think I brought a lot more to the table than they did. But at the time, they were bringing a lot because they're bringing the cash in. And as you grow, you have to adjust your partnerships and your offering because one, you're a more established operator with better systems, which means a safer investment for them. And your time is money, right? That prevents you from scaling. And so that's one thing I really had to figure out in my early 30s was like, hey, I love these partnerships, but because I'm doing so much work, I can't keep growing in certain aspects. And so you always want to audit those throughout the years. But typically, you know, a lot of us do that 50-50 split in the beginning. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's about exploring all the different options and what you need inside your business. You can, you know, there's so many ways you could do it. Actually, we just built a calculator that allows people to play with it all and make offerings out for people. And so they can play with the different fees throughout it because there's different ways you can cut it up. You can still do a 50-50 split, but you're still working throughout the deal. You know, in my opinion, 50-50, they would bring the cash in and then you can also fee it throughout each transaction, right? Like when they purchase it for the leasing. If there is a turn and you have to lease it up for a month, you can charge a fee there. The reason you want to charge your fees isn't to be greedy. It's so it provides your company the capital to grow and scale. And the more capital you have coming in for the fees, the better your business can run, which is going to take better care of your investors. A lot of our fees when we're doing partnerships, they're not really profit centers for us, but what they are engines for quality. Our company runs a lot more efficient now by having these fees because we're not constrained on capital. It's not affecting our return. But, you know, so as you become a good operator, it's about, A, I don't think you should be bringing your own money in the deal. And if you are bringing your own money in the deal, they should get a much smaller equity piece, or they need to bring all the capital, but then make sure you're charging for your time, because you're going to get your time back by having those extra fees because you can hire out and scale. You don't want to get trapped in that partnerships mud where you're doing all the work and there's nothing wrong with it, but it's not going to get you to financial freedom 2.0.
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense. And that's exactly what I was looking to hear. So I appreciate it.
Okay, before I weigh in, what are your thoughts on James's answer, Matthew?
I love it just because I'm naturally a doer. So like, for example, we had a big freeze in Texas and some of our pool equipment froze. So I got my car, drove here and fixed it and did some other things around the house. So I need to get out, you know, of that, and charging those fees, being able to hire people to do that will allow me to scale.
All right, Matt, I'm going to weigh in with my thoughts on this right after a quick break. So stick around for some more Seeing Green Truth.
What if you could buy new construction homes up to $20,000 below market value? That's right, $20,000 in instant equity. What if you could use that same $20,000 to cover your down payment or score a lower mortgage rate? Talk about being spoiled for choices. Right now, Renta Retirement is offering investors their choice of incentives when they invest in a new turnkey property. Your options? Up to $20,000 below retail pricing on new construction homes, aka instant equity, or a 5% down payment credit. That means less cash out of your pocket. Tired of high rates? Use that $20,000 to lower your interest rate to as low as 3.99% and score free property management for a year. All right, well, now they're just getting crazy over there. Renta Retirement's final option? No money down investor loans. Take your choice of instant equity, low or no money down, or a rate as low as 3.99%. To learn more, visit rentoretirement.com. That's rent, T-O, retirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. REI 33777 to take advantage of these limited time incentives. Spring is here, and you know what that means. Fresh flowers, fresh air, fresh starts. So why not take a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security? SimpliSafe protects my home during the busy spring season when I'm out leveling up my portfolio. But you know why I really love SimpliSafe? Because it's very easy to install. As a matter of fact, I set up my entire system, my personal home, which is a 4-bedroom, 3-bath, in less than 30 minutes. They've got a super simple app, as whenever we're on vacation, we have friends come by the house to water the plants, check on the house, whatever it is. We're able to turn off our alarm right before our friends get to the house and turn it on right after they leave instantly. SimpliSafe offers a wide variety of high-tech sensors that detect break-ins, fires, and floods. They've got indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch day and night, 24/7 professional monitoring at less than $1 a day, and I challenge you to figure out what you can buy for less than $1 a day. And with the 60-day money-back guarantee, you can try SimpliSafe risk-free. SimpliSafe has given me and many of our listeners real peace of mind, and we want you to have it too. So go get 20% off of your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplisafe.com/pockets. That's simplisafe.com/pockets. There's no safe like SimpliSafe. You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from Connect Invest. Connect Invest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short Notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to connectinvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP.
And welcome back. Matt here is trying to figure out how to double his portfolio with partnerships and then how to structure the splits. All right. I'll weigh in on this whole idea of partnerships, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper, which might not be what people want to hear. Oftentimes what someone's looking for is just a quick answer. It should be 50-50. It should be 60-40. They just want a shortcut, but life doesn't always work that way. Most things in life operate with a lot more gray than the quick answer we're looking for. So when I'm in a situation like you, Matthew, where I'm trying to figure out how do I split a partnership, there's a few negotiation principles that I'd put into play. The first thing is who controls the deal. That person has more negotiation leverage than the other one. So if your partner is finding the property and putting it under contract and they are in control of how things go, they are relinquishing a portion of their power to you, which means that they have more negotiation leverage than you do. Now, if they are a poor manager of that leverage, they will give you a bigger split than what you maybe deserve. 50-50 tends to come out because everyone feels good about it, but you only feel good about it until you see who's doing the work and who's taking the risk. And then you don't feel good about 50-50 anymore. It's not as safe of a place to start as what people assume. Because like James was just saying, if he's the one managing the risk, managing the clients, taking on all the stress, and his partner's just putting money in the deal, he's not going to feel good about 50-50. It actually isn't fair, like what it said. In fact, the whole idea of fair is actually like a social construct we've created. There's no way of ever measuring what's actually fair. So ask yourself, who is controlling the leverage? And then how much of your chunk do you want to give away, right? And ideally, Matthew, you want to be the one controlling the deal. You would rather be in the position that you're contacting the realtor or you're contacting the seller, you've run the numbers, and you know what you want to leverage out. I don't want to manage the rehab. I don't want to do the design. I don't want to figure out the money. You want clarity on what you actually need. Okay. It's not an even 50-50 thing. It's Matthew has 100 of it. He is willing to give away 37% of whatever those things are that you don't want. Okay. Now it comes to what are you going to pay to get that? I would look at it and say, for your partner, if we're assuming that they're money, don't say what is a fair percentage of this deal. Say what is a fair compensation to them based on what the market is paying with the risk involved in this. Okay. So if they can go get 6% money in a CD or 10% money in the stock market with very little risk, maybe you give them a 20% return on their money. Because there's some risk involved in this, they could actually lose it, right? Maybe it's a home run deal with a ton of equity and there's almost no risk. You offer them a 14% return, right? But the idea here is to set a baseline of what they could make somewhere else and make it better with you. When you're controlling the deal, you are responsible for making sure that it makes sense for the other partner also. But don't just default to 50-50 is what I'm getting at, because that makes everybody feel good. You want to weigh in on that, James?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And I think it, when you're looking at partnerships, don't rush in, because everyone gets excited about the deal and they're like, I got this deal, I got to go get it done. And they get deal goggles and they forget about what actually they have and what they should be offering. And it's really important for you to walk through the numbers and play with the percentages. What is a great return for that investor and what are you happy with? And at the end of the day, it has to be both. And so when we talk about doing partnerships, we don't ever ask what people want. We provide them with the opportunity. We know what their return is going to be. And we say, hey, look, do you want to invest in this deal and make an 8% pref with a 20% equity position? Your return should equal out to 25 to 30% over the next 3 to 4 years. And when you come with a plan saying, hey, if we look at this on a 1 year, 2 year, 3 year basis, here's your return. And if it's beating where they can get, like David said, it's a good investment for them, especially if they want to get interested. And the problem being is they, for them, is they're a W-2 employee. They don't have the time and you have the time. And so they need you. And so don't undervalue those services. And just make sure it's worth, you know, if you're giving someone a 20% return, like David said, that's a huge return. You might be able to keep 90% of the equity. And then as they participate more, maybe they're signing on the debt instead of you. Maybe I give them more because they're taking on risk, right? And so just looking at each one, play with. And then I would suggest come up with two formats. You know, I have an equity with a fee split that I do with people, and then I have a straight equity. And they're weighted differently depending on who the investor is and how they want to participate. And when you model it out, when people talk about me investing with me, I have three things that I offer. That's it. I don't make different types of side deals, because different types of side deals also require different types of paperwork. And, you know, it's really important as you're working with new investors in the real estate space that everything's documented with a lawyer set up correctly, whether it's a lender agreement, an LLC, a joint venture agreement, and an understanding so they know exactly what's going on. Because I have had a lot of partnerships in life. Some have been amazing that have lasted almost 20 years, almost no issues, and some have been short-lived and not nonstop issues. But what saves those partnerships at the end of the day is the it all put down on paper so people really know what they're getting into. Because at the people rush into deals and then like, hey, how is this working? And, you know, explain the risk, put it on paper, have professionals prepare that paperwork after you've kind of allocated all your fees and then get your partnership going.
Yeah. And that will help you psychologically too, Matthew. James is advising on a practical purpose, which is really good. But most people will go into whatever partnership they think is fair. And if no one proposes what is fair, then they're going to say 50-50. We always default to that, right? But if you're bringing them something that's already been written up because you're controlling the deal and you're saying, well, this is what I've offered to other people, and then maybe you sweeten it a little bit better just for them, you've now set a baseline of what is fair because that's what the market is offering according to you. And you've made it even better so that, of course, they're going to be happy doing it. When you don't do that, their mind is like, well, I don't want to get less than I deserve, but I also don't want to get more. And there's nothing, there's no baseline with which people can operate. We talk about that on the David Green team all the time, the importance of setting a baseline, right? If I'm trying to get you to buy a house, Matthew, and you don't want to go over asking price, it's because you've set a subconscious idea in your head that the asking price is what the house is worth. And that's where your baseline is. But if I can convince you that that house is worth more than the asking price, now you might be paying more than the asking price, but less than what it's worth. I move the baseline to whatever the appraise value is or the market value. Humans need that in order to navigate these relationships with a lot of fear of being taken advantage of and greed of wanting to get more of what they want. So James's advice is awesome, right? You be the guy to do the work, to draft up those documents and then say, hey, here is the way that I do things. Tell me if you want to do this. And they're going to look at it and say, well, is this better than what I could get in the stock market? And if so, you're going to have yourself a partnership where you're controlling it.
Love it. Love both of the responses, both 5 stars. Thank you, David.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate you, man. And thanks so much for being here with us today at this segment of the show. I like to review some of the comments that y'all have left on YouTube, as well as some of the reviews that our loyal followers have left for us on the podcast app itself. And then sometimes we get into some forum questions from Bigger Pockets. So let's see. These YouTube comments come from episode 897, where we interviewed my homie, Felicia Rexford. And if you haven't seen that episode, I highly recommend you check it out after this one. All right. Our first comment comes from Amelis Mendoza. Trust made me feel at ease that my kids will not be homeless when my husband and I are not around anymore. Different generations have different struggles in life, but I want to make sure that my kids have strong foundations to deal with it. Oh, don't a mother's love is something else, isn't it, James?
It is. Nothing trumps that.
Now, B. Uluwehi says, my husband sent me this episode and he loves learning from your podcast. Thank you for continuing to show us how to diversify our incomes and the steps that you provide for us to get there. And Florian Iwu says, excellent content. Just placed my home and real estate investments into a revocable living trust. Brains develop around the age of 26. So think about legacy planning. I appreciate the honesty and pivots and these ideas in turbulent times. And last but not least, we have a comment from the Apple Podcast app that says, excellent resource. I stumbled into the real estate game after buying a duplex without realizing how much it would change my financial future. Ain't that the truth? I remember I bought my first house, James. I had no idea what that was going to do for me. I found BP and dove into all the content they produce and have since used the equity in the duplex to buy a new primary. And I'm working on my first off-market seller finance deal. I don't claim to be an expert, but I'm amazed how confident I am working through this new deal because of my familiarity with real estate, which is in large part due to the education I received through BP. Thank you for all the hard work from Redeemed Ski Bum via the Apple Podcast.
Such nice things. And we appreciate all the feedback. I know for us as hosts, we love getting the feedback so we can actually start other types of conversations too.
That's right. If you would like to be on Seeing Green, simply head over to biggerpockets.com/David. And leave us your question because one, we can't make the show without you. And two, we just want to get to know you. So let us know what struggles you're having, what questions you have, what you've always wanted to know. If you bumped into David Green or James Daynard in a bar, at a conference, at an event, what would you say? What would you ask? Ask it here because we're here for you. All right, let's get into our next question. Good stuff so far. This question comes from Jamie D'Souza in Boston, Massachusetts.
Hi, David. My name is Jamie D'Souza from Boston, Mass. And my question for you relates to loan paydown. I have a property that I will finally be able to pay off next year. I owe about $170,000 on the mortgage. I have a 4% interest rate, and I've been into this loan for about 8 years now. The property rents for $1,850. The mortgage payment is $1,400. So when you consider repairs, it doesn't cash flow very much. The property itself is worth about $450K as is. So I feel my return on equity is very low. If I paid off the mortgage, this would clear up about $12,000 a year. If you would not consider doing this, what would you think about doing instead? I don't have access to wholesale deals, and I feel the MLS is quite overpriced. Finally, the $1,850 I charge should be likely closer to $2,500. What are your thoughts on raising rents? I've never done so on current tenants. Thanks.
All right, Jamie, I'll give you some practical advice here. First off, check out Bigger Pockets Podcast episodes 448 and the rookie episode 369, where we interviewed my buddy Dion McNeely, and he has some advice there that just might help you, especially when it comes to raising rents. Second off, I'm in the same struggle. James is in the same struggle that all of you are in. Cash flow is very hard to find, and the methods that we've utilized to try to find cash flow often end up with you getting a less than desirable property, a less than desirable location, or trading in your W-2 for a full-time job trying to find cash flowing real estate. And so you didn't really get a net positive there. How I've adapted is I've started buying in properties that I believe will appreciate more than the national average. I call this market appreciation equity. So I look for literal market cities, neighborhoods, areas where I think, look, if I'm not going to get cash flow, this needs to make up for it by getting more appreciation than I would get somewhere else, as well as adding value to properties. I have a new book coming out in August. I'm probably going to be calling it Better Than Cash Flow, that details some of these strategies. So think about that. If you can't get the cash on cash return you want, how can you add value to real estate in other ways? By buying it under market value, by adding value to it, by buying in better locations, and where you look back or 5 or 10 years and say, wow, this thing has performed so well, I don't even care about the cash flow. All right, our next question comes from Melissa Alejandro in California. David, I'm stuck in limbo. I have two properties, one I live in and one I just got in a trust that belongs to my mom. My goal is to buy a ranchette, house hack my home, and maybe sell the house in the trust. The only problem is that my son, his family, and my brother all live in the home that is in the trust. I need to buy a ranch first to put them in, then figure out what to do with the trust house. Both houses have equity, and I'm not sure I want to use it. I'm thinking a hard money loan for a down payment on the ranch. I need help. After I get situated, I want to invest. I appreciate your time. All right. So we've got some good real estate dilemmas coupled with some mom guilt, giving us a nice little cocktail, James. What are you thinking so far?
Well, you know, the family guilt's a real thing. You know, my mom lives in one of my duplex units, and I bring in $0 a month in rent. So it's a great return, but it's well worth it. And that's the one beautiful thing about real estate is it can give you financial freedom to where you can help your family out. And that is the power of real estate. But we all go through these different transition periods as investors. We have assets. We might not want to touch them, especially with low debt on them right now. We don't intend on selling them because maybe they're not traders like I am. They want to keep them in their portfolio, or they have a reason to keep in them. But they've created enough equity that they want to go and acquire more property, but they're low on liquidity. And so it's that bridge financing that you're looking for. And there's two great options for that. One is hard money. You want to find a cross-collateralized lender. That's a hard money lender that is going to take your equity position, which will be in second position. And that's a harder loan to get. You know, hard money lenders will give you cross collaterals if you own a piece of property free and clear. That's a really easy thing for them to put a loan on as you're buying that next property. When it's in second position, you have to really clearly state what the equity position is, what the cash flow is, and you want to make them feel comfortable. But you can find a hard money lender that will take your equity position, and they'll look at that and they'll consider that as your down payment for your farm property. In addition to, as you're a real estate investor, I'm a firm believer working with local banks. Local banks look at you as like an asset rather than just a person that fits in a square box like many of the big banks. If you move your deposits and banking over to these smaller banks that are local to where your real estate is or where you're buying, and you move deposits over, they will work with you and help you put your plan together. So they will also look at giving you a bridge loan based on your deposits and your properties that you have with equity in them, and they will bridge it with a construction loan or a bridge loan at that point. So really, you want to talk to these local lenders that are more creative, because when you're dealing with those bridge loans, you have to have them be able to see the big picture, not just what's on your W-2 or your tax return.
Yeah, and I think that Melissa here has the right idea. Get another property, move my family into that one, then figure out what to do with the equity. I love these issues that we're trying to struggle.
Yeah, and David, I like what you said about equity, right? Like, as we build this equity, equity is really a bank account, and people kind of hoard it. And they're like, oh, this is my special thing. I have all this equity. I have all this net worth. But it's really just a number on the paper. And if you don't use it, you can't really revenize it. And the purpose of building equity is like building a bank account. Like, if I want to go make cash flow, that usually requires money, right? Like, if you go buy a standard rental property, you're putting 20% down to make a 6-7% return, or maybe even 10 if you're buying a good deal. Equity is the same thing. You're just utilizing, instead of transferring out of your bank account, you're transferring from property to property. And as long as you're increasing your position, that is a smart move. And so I think a lot of people need to treat your properties like an ATM. Don't go buy boats, but go buy, you know, pull the cash out when you need it, and then go reallocate and go buy some more investments. And that's how you scale and grow.
Good deal. There in Pillars of Wealth, I talk about how equity is a form of energy, financial energy that you have wrapped up in a property. Cash in the bank is a form of financial energy that you have stored at a bank account. Your 401k is a form of financial energy that you have stored. Now, different forms of energy have different pluses and minuses. Money in the bank is very liquid. You can use it in a pinch. Energy in a 401k is going to be efficient because it's not being taxed, but you can't use it as easily. So understanding the pluses and minuses, the pros and cons of all the places where you can store energy will sort of give you an advantage when you're playing this investing game. But to your point, James, yeah, if you're an active investor who's trying to find deals, who's trying to put them under contract, you need a bigger proportion of that energy where you can get to it via money in the bank, via a HELOC on a property where you can quickly take the energy out of a house. So Melissa, thank you very much for your question here. I think you just need to get a little bit more clarity on what the next deal is going to look like. Then you've got lots of options. You can throw a HELOC on the property that you have right now and use that for the down payment. You could do a cash out refinance if you wanted. I know you don't want to take out debt, but you're going to need to get the money for the next house from somewhere. And we've got more in store for you, so stay tuned right after this quick break.
Deciding how to invest your capital can be extremely challenging, especially when the market is constantly changing. That's why it's never been more important to partner with a company that has a great track record. The BAM Capital executive team has successfully navigated through the Great Recession, COVID-19, and the current interest rate environment while delivering maximized returns to their partners. BAM Capital is a trusted multifamily syndicator with over $1.3 billion in transactions, delivering a historical average of over 35% IRR with an average hold period of 3.5 years. And BAM Capital has consistently paid preferred return distributions for over 50 consecutive months, has not lost limited partners capital, and has not called capital past the subscription amount. BAM Capital's disciplined investment strategy is targeting undermanaged institutional quality trophy assets throughout the U.S. heartland for accredited investors who are looking for generational wealth building or monthly income opportunities. Their offerings target cash flow stability, capital preservation, long-term appreciation, and accelerated tax benefits. Join BAM Capital's over 1,200 investors across 44 states and get started today at BAMCapital.com. Again, that's BAMCapital.com.
Top real estate investors love to talk about how they save so much on taxes. But how are they able to build rental property empires while skirting Uncle Sam? 1031 exchanges. 1031 exchanges allow you to defer capital gains taxes while you sell an investment property, exchanging your old property for a bigger, better one and avoiding the tax man while you do it. And that's where First American Exchange Company comes in. They're the leaders in 1031 exchanges. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, First American Exchange can help you with simple rental property exchanges, complex commercial real estate investments, reverse exchanges, and more. Don't let your taxes eat into your profits. Visit First American Exchange Company at firstexchange.com or call them at 800-556-2520. That's firstexchange.com or 800-556-2520. Keep your money in your pocket and propel your portfolio further at firstexchange.com. First American Exchange Company does not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your financial, real estate, tax, or legal advisor about your circumstances. First American Exchange Company. Safe, smart, secure.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb.
Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. You're ready to open a business bank account for your new property. You know what that means? Coordinating a time between you, your co-founders, and your bank consultant. Waiting at the branch or waiting for hours on the support line. Who has time for that? With Relay, you can open a business bank account for your property 100% online from anywhere. Create up to 20 accounts to organize money by property or by categories like expenses, taxes, or investments. Effortlessly collaborate with role-specific access. That means giving your cleaner a debit card for cleaning supplies or your accountant read-only access to your transactions. Own multiple businesses? Relay lets you open unlimited accounts and access them all from one centralized login. Okay, I'm going off script here. That is cool. It's annoying that I have to log into 10 business accounts with my current bank. So go sign up for Relay Fi, because that's a feature that I like. No monthly fees or minimums, and it takes just 10 minutes to sign up. Head on over to relayfi.com/biggerpockets for stress-free banking. You can join me, because I'm heading on over there right now. I'm heading on over to relayfi.com/biggerpockets. Relay is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Thread Bank, member FDIC. The Relay Visa debit card is issued by Thread Bank pursuant to a license from Visa USA Inc. and may be used everywhere Visa debit cards are accepted.
Welcome back to the Bigger Pockets Real Estate Podcast. Let's jump back in. All right. And our last question of the day comes from Sardhaz Mohammed. David, in your episode 897, James Daynard mentioned about a hard cash investment that returns 13% per year. Can I please get more information on that investment? Thank you. Well, Sardhaz, you asked so politely that I brought James in himself just to answer your question, Bigger Pockets with the white glove treatment. So James, what is this 13% annual return that you speak of, and how might one partake?
You know, when I started preparing for my kids, you know, once you have your kids, you start thinking about my whole mindset changes, right? You got to worry about 10, 20 years down the road, not just for yourself, but for them. And as I saw education and college just skyrocketing the last 10 years since they were born, I wanted to be proactive and kind of stay up with those costs, right? Because the point of investing is to hedge against inflation, hedge against rising costs, and to keep you in the game. And, you know, I started looking at the 529 plan, where, you know, it's a great plan. You can invest in it, goes into the stock market, gets you steady growth. It protects the money. But the issue for me is I'm a high return person. I don't like to do it traditional, and that has not worked well for me over 18 years. The way I do it seems to work for me, which is high risk investments with high returns. And, you know, so then I start exploring, well, what can I do better that maybe isn't a shelter, but I can get a higher return? And that's where I looked into a hard money lending fund. And you have to be very careful about who you're investing with. But I basically deposited $20,000 for each kid, and those compound at 10% annually. And over 10 years, that $20,000 is going to turn into almost $275,000. And that's how you keep in the game, and you keep up with those rising costs. But you want to make sure you're doing it the right way and with the right company. The first thing is, many times when you're investing in these types of hard money funds, they're going to pay you a return 8 to 10% roughly, or depending on what they're lending it at. But you have to be accredited. Now, my kids are not accredited investors, so I did put the money in accounts under their name, my name for them. And so in this hard money fund, I have my own investment, and then I have two separate accounts that are for my children that are compounding regularly. You need to vet these operators. There is all sorts of syndicators out there. There's all sorts of hard money shops that have popped up, and they're newer to the market. And when you're working with an operator that is not used to market condition changes, that's where it can be a lot higher risk. And so things you want to do is, how long has the company been in business for? What is the operator's experience? What do they lend on? Is it a high risk investment? The fund that my kids are in with me, it's a first position deed of trust with in-trust funding. And so they only lend on properties with first position deeds of trust in a specific area I know well. And the average loan to value is at 65%. And so it's a safe fund for me to stick my college, my kids' future in, because I know what they're lending on. So you want to find out who the operators are, how long they've been operating for, what they lend on, and then what is the requirements for them to lend. Because you don't want to give your money to, whether it's your kids' money or money, to hard money lenders that are just trying to push money out the door nonstop, because that's how they get into riskier loans. But there's so many different things that you can do with your kids. You can buy a house in their name. You could buy a piece of raw land for $5,000 and put it in their name and let it grow over 20 years. That's also going to get you a high return if you buy in the right area. And so just don't look at just the traditional ways all the time. If you want higher growth, look at what you can execute on. I mean, you can go buy land for $5,000. Take that money, let it grow, and then let them sell it to fund their college.
I think when people hear the ROI, in this case 13%, there's an assumption that it's passive, especially because traditionally, most investment options anybody got involved in were all passive. Do I buy stocks? Do I buy bonds? Do I put my money in a CD? Do I give a personal loan? So we created this idea of ROI to compare investment options apples to apples. Well, if I give them my money, how much of it will I get back every year? But real estate investing is not passive. A business is not passive. We've now kind of created a spectrum of passivity, and the higher returns tend to come with either more risk or more work. So if you don't want the risk, you can get a better return by taking on more work. If you don't want the work, you can get a better return by taking on the risk. And if you don't want either one, you're going to get a lower return, which means you need more capital to be able to invest. So this podcast, we typically teach people about how to invest their money, and there's going to be some form of activeness. You're going to be managing a flip, managing contractors, managing a team of people that's helping you, managing a short-term rental, but there's always going to be a form of management, which is not passive income. So what I'm getting at here is, don't get tricked into just comparing the ROI on a deal. This one gives a 5% return. This one gives a 15% return. This one gives a 25% return. I'm going to go with the 25. That might be a flip that has a lot of risk and a lot of work associated with it. And the 5% return could have been the opposite of that. All right. Thank you, everybody. Sardoz, I hope you're happy. We got James himself in to answer your question. And all the rest of you, remember, I need you to go to biggerpockets.com/David and submit your question to be featured on a future episode of Seeing Green. Also, if you'd be so kind, leave us some comments on YouTube. Let us know what you thought about today's show and what you'd like to see more of. And if you've got a minute, please go leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast. Those help a ton. James, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
No, I think these are great. I think, you know, keep sending in the questions. I love coming on here with you. This is my favorite thing, breaking down the mechanics of real estate. What is that next step? And you don't know until you ask the question. And send in the questions. We will happily discuss them.
If you want to know more about where you can find James or I, just go to the show notes. You've got our contact info on there. So if you're too embarrassed to ask something on Seeing Green, you can send us a direct message on your favorite social media. And if you've got a minute, check out another Bigger Pockets video. This is David Green for James the Great Danard, signing off.
The market is changing, and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals and enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and bam! Instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. This free resource is only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.